All right. Well, it's good to be here tonight. It is a great crowd. Of course, I'm used to a very teeny crowd. You know, if we got 20, I'm good. I'm a cloud nine. So, of course, I just can't wait to get my presentation. You know, it's kind of more like a three-year update, and we've interviewed all of our people. I just can't wait for you to see it tomorrow. And by the way, and I do apologize, we do not have a prayer card. We do have a church website. If you want to find out what our church is doing, you could like our Facebook page for the church now, Liberty View Baptist Church, and you could also do that .com, LibertyViewBaptistChurch.com, and you can kind of follow us and what we're doing, and it's a blessing, but I guess I'll save for all that for tomorrow. But grab your Bible tonight, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 tonight. Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16. It's good to get away. The city will make you rot, you know, if you stay in there too long. Of course, I do know that tonight, I talked to Brother Bill tonight. Rumor was that in the church that he loved rocks like I do. Ironically enough, you know, we are city people. I love the city, but I love rock hounding. I love collecting rocks and crystals. You probably never heard of that term before, but it's if you like rocks. And ironically enough, you know, I like the buildings and all the cement, but we just love rocks. I love that God created them, and we collect them. So, Brother Bill, it's great talking to you. I'm going to try to go see his rocks tomorrow. Amen. So that'd be exciting. And so I know that's kind of weird, but you know, hey, we all have to have a hobby. So, if the church member frustrates us, we just go crack some rocks open with a big old sledgehammer, you know. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and to give it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Tonight I want to preach a simple message about turning on the light. If we're ever going to renew our compassion, there's got to be a point in time where you say, all right, well now I'm going to be the Christian I know God wants me to be, and I'm going to turn on my light. I'm going to tell people about the gospel. Let's pray about that tonight. Heavenly Father, would you help us, Lord, to turn on the light? Lord, we're out in a rural community. We understand what it means to have the lights turned off and to have open fields with no artificial light. We just have the moonlight. We know how dark it can be, but this world is full of spiritual darkness. We need Christians all across this country, all across this world, all the way to Cameroon, all up and down Europe and all over the world to turn on their light and to plant gospel churches that'll turn their lights on and reach a world that's lost and dying without any light. Help us to turn our light on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, tonight, I want you to understand, as Christians, we must shine as lights into a world of darkness. You see, if you're in sin tonight, or you just love sin a little too much, you're dimming your light. Your light is not shining like it should. If I said, I want to show you some life-changing water that'll change your life, just like this glass that Pastor Brenton gave me, and I went outside, and you know, I said, you know, I'm just going to take it into the cow pasture, you know, maybe with the goats, and have them lick all in it, put some dirt in it, and say, you know, look how refreshing this glass is. But we think God can use our vessels. We got them all dirty and cloudy and all mucky. We need to turn on our light, make sure it's bright and shining. At church, little Jane had listened to a sermon, "Let your light so shine." The only part she remembered was the text, but she didn't understand what it meant till her mother explained. It means being good, obedient, and cheerful. In the afternoon, there was trouble in the nursery, and Jane excused herself for being naughty and saying, "I blowed myself out." How much you understand tonight? The culture, we live in a culture that's progressively getting more and more sinful. It's not time to blow out, hide out, or darken out. We need to let our light so shine. Amen. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. You see, the enemy doesn't want our light to shine. The enemy doesn't want us to be the light of the world. But Jesus was very clear in verse 14. Ye, the church, the Christian, the believer, is the light of the world. So number one tonight, I want you to look at the source of the light. Ye are the light of the world. The source of the light. The light of the world is the highest and truest sense. The word belongs to Christ and to Him only. The comparison to a candle or a lamp shows indeed that even here the disciples are spoken as shining in a world without light and to derive brightness flowing from them from the fount of light, the source of light, the one who created all light. That's none other but God in heaven, Jesus Christ. God gives that light. We're to shine the light. You're the light of the world. You know what? This world needs you to shine. It's not time to complain or to rear back and to just keep your light silent or not shine or not be an influence. But in a world of darkness, in a world of sin, we need to let our light shine. The world needs you to shine. Now, of course, they won't say that, but it's true. The world needs you to shine. They don't want your light. Light can burn at times, but you need to let your light shine. Turn it on tonight. Christ wants it to shine. You're the light of the world. Our church and this church and every church needs their believers, needs their people that attend church to shine that light. You're the light of the world. Your church needs you to shine. Satan hates it when you shine. You're the light of the world. Darkness cannot prevail when light is shining. When I turn on the light in a dark room, of course, when we've been, you know, in the basement there at the Seymour's, right? Did I get that right? Seymour's? That's where we're staying? All right. It's really dark over there. I'm not used to that. We always have light somewhere. In fact, if you go up to our third story in the attic there, you can see the city lights. You know, it's always shining. But, you know, darkness can't prevail when the light is turned on. If there's a dark room, of course, we're down there with hardly any lights. I'm sleeping good. But when the light's on, it dispels darkness. Be careful what you say. Of course, God is a true source of light, but God has entrusted you and I with the light so we would shine. It's time to light. Consider your entertainment. Use social media wisely. Think of others. Consider other people's needs and help meet them. But let your light shine. Be careful how you are as a Christian because it affects your light. It changes the way people look at you. Hey, I thought Christians were different. You're acting just like me. I thought they were different. I thought you say you go to church all the time. Boy, your light's not shining like it should be. And this world sees the way we are sometimes and says, boy, that's not the light that I understand God to be like. You're different than the God that I understand. And they may be lost. They may not be a believer. But when we let our light be clouded by sin and by this world, it affects our light. So the source of light, it comes from God. But we are that light. Number two, the sphere of light. Go back there to Mark 15 and look at verse 14. All right, I'm sorry, Matthew 5:14. Now look at the other part of that verse. It says, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The sphere of light. See, you know, I'm not going to let my light shine. I want to have the most impact. And so often there would be these cities on hills, and they would put them on top of hills so that it would just be a little more easy to let their light shine, and you could see it from afar off. And there was an influence of that light. It could be seen from a very far off place. You know, you can even be an hour away from New York City, and you can see that night light. You can see the skyline even from about an hour away because it kind of come down a hill on it, and you can see down in there. But the sphere of the light, it's of the world. There's a duration of time here. The time God has given you is affected by this sphere of light. You have a time on this planet. When you die, you can't shine anymore. A city on a hill cannot be hid. You ought to let your light shine now. You ought to let people see it. You ought to be an influence. But that sphere of light, there's only a period of time that's going to last for. Eventually, you'll die. You'll only have served God for the time you've been put on this earth for. But it's going to be only for that duration that God has given you. And it also speaks of inhabited place. The entirety of the globe is affected. Look again at verse 14. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. And so there's an entirety of the globe affected, and you even see you're the light of the world. And then the order of arrangement, your specific culture, is affected. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We should find it no surprise of the sin that we see. Lost people do what lost people do. People who sin will do sin. They're gonna do that. We ought not to be surprised at that, but the sphere, where we should understand that we're going to impact the world. We ought to let our light shine. And it's not so much that we criticize the sin that someone does, but get them straight to the Savior. Hey, God, Jesus died for that sin. Jesus died for you. He loves you. He doesn't want us to be in that. But, you know, you get past that and get to where they need the help from. If we just put a Band-Aid on a arm that's been cut off, it doesn't address the need. And so we just kind of focus on the sin. We ought to talk about that. Sin, there's a judgment for that. Hell is deserved for all sinners. But we need to get to the Savior to who died for them. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, sometimes when people we talk to have been given to doctrines of devils. We need to recognize that. 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this verse, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. People love struck with lust and sin. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And we are told to be light in the world. We're to affect people for Jesus Christ. Now, you know, I know that I maybe run into a lot more animalistic people than maybe you do, but you are the light of the world. The scope is the world. Number three, the spectacle of light. Look at verse 14. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Light cannot be hid. It cannot. If your light is hidden, it's because you hid it. It's because you've allowed your life to restrict the light and impact that you could have. So light cannot be hid. You can't hide it. You have to cover it. It has to, if it's on a hill and it's lit properly and it can be seen, it just can't be hid unless something hinders that light. Light attracts attention. Light attracts attention. You know, I feel bad for Brother Cameroon, you know, going to the Cameroon. You know, it's going to attract attention. And we know that, you know, as a missionary goes into somewhere overseas, you do something for God, you're just seen. You're the white guy in the black tribe there. And we feel the same way. We're the white guys in the black neighborhood. And you know, it just draws attention. You know, after a while, let me tell you, 3 years into it, you know, we just set up a table for a black Family and Heritage Day parade. And it was just all our community, you know, got in this parade. It was for Black Heritage. And it was just amazing. The best soul winning I've ever had. But all these black families said, "Hey, Pastor Dave, I didn't even know these people. Hey, it looks like you're growing. I've seen people go into your storefront." And you just, light attracts attention. They see you. They may never go. And I'm sure some of those other tribal members, they may see the missionary there. And, you know, I see that white guy. What's he doing over there in that mud hut in that little church? I don't know what he's doing, but he's gathering a crowd. So light gathers attention. If we let our light shine, we don't have to worry about being an influence. We will be an influence. Light attracts attention. And praise God, light dispels darkness. Light dispels darkness. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The church is often called the city of God. Christ compares his people here not to a city, but a city upon a hill, so that all for which our Savior mentions the city here is conspicuously a city that's so built, as much as if our Savior should have said, "Yeah, you have need to be holy, for your conversation cannot be hid any more than a city can that is built upon a hill, which is obvious to every eye. All men's eyes will be upon you." The spectacle of the light is that we must be vocal Christians. We don't need quitting Christians or quiet Christians. We need vocal Christians. Light attracts attention. Let it come. We don't need shy Christians. We need bold Christians. Now, you may be an introvert, but be bold for Christ. Be the personality that God's called you to be, but be bold for Him. Don't allow your personality to give you an excuse to say, "Well, I'm this way, so God can't use me. I'm a little introverted. I'm a little, I find it difficult to talk to people." Well, let God and His salvation speak to your heart so much that you've got to boil over. Amen. You can't keep it hid. You've got to let your light shine. Amen. We don't need hiding Christians, but shining Christians. Amen. Believers in Christ sometimes take on the appearance of the world to avoid detection. Undercover Christians, secret agent believers. That's what some religious leaders did in John 12. They believed in Jesus but didn't make it known for fear of losing their position. We must be consistent, showing our colors for the Lord on all occasions and not quickly blending into our surroundings when we feel threatened. You know, some animals do that. You know, they just change the way they look. "I don't want to be seen." You know, don't go into a place and just, "Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian." You know, let people know that. Let your light shine. We don't have to punch people and say we're a Christian, but stand for Christ. Yes, we can avoid ridicule from the world if we go undercover, but that shows we love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Let's maintain a clear-cut testimony at all times and in all circumstances. "Lord of my life, henceforth I bear the name of Christian everywhere. Therefore, O Christ, my spirit claim, and make me worthy of your name." Work harder at being what you should be than hiding what you are. Number four, the setting of the light. Look at verse 15. "Neither do men light a candle and put under a bushel, but on a candlestick." You know, it'd be silly to be the light of the world and to have the one who created light and say, "You know what, I'm just going to kind of cover my light. I don't want people to see that I'm a Christian. I don't want people to know about it. I'm just not going to shine." It'd be silly. If you wanted to light a room, it'd be silly to light a candlestick and light your room and say, "Well, to get the best light here, you know, I think what we're going to do here is grab the biggest barrel here and just cover the light. And we'll shine this thing up real good." But we live our lives like that. The setting of the light. Men don't light a candle and hide it. You don't turn on the light to blow it out. You know, I didn't take out my 22 and just bust out all these lights and say, "You know, we just need some more light in here, Pastor. We're going to break out all these lights." We don't cover the light. to have an influence. The setting of the light is the purpose of Christianity. No man, when he had lighted a candle, covered it with a vessel and put it under a bed. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. We don't become darkness to reach darkness. We become light to reach darkness. We want to turn people from that darkness and from the power of Satan unto God. This world needs the light of Christianity, the light of God's Word, the light of God's truth. People need to be saved, discipled, baptized, and added to His church. We need to do forth His mission. We need to renew our compassion, and our heart needs to break for this world that's lost and dying. You know, tomorrow night we'll talk lots about New York City. It's the largest city in America and vastly neglected with the gospel. The least amount of churches probably in any city, it's twice as big as the number two spot for the largest city in America. It's a humongous city with tons of people, and we don't put churches there. We've not planted churches. No wonder maybe it is the way it is. But either way, it's just because it's a country area doesn't mean it's not needy as well. The need is everywhere. In the country, in the city, in the suburb, we need the gospel to go forth and in every tribe and in every nation, every kindred and tongue. We need to have the setting of the light. We need not to put it under a bushel. Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless as the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights of the world. You know, Paul said, I planted this church in Philippi, so you'd be lights that turn on. We can turn people, and we can allow you to shine as lights in this world, holding forth the word of life. What if the person that reached you was quiet? What if the person said, well, today I'm not going to witness? What if the person that witnessed to you said, I'm just not going to say anything today? What if I never followed God to Staten Island? What if our dear brother never followed God to Cameroon? What if Brenton never said, maybe he just stayed in the Coast Guard, never got saved, and that person that spoke to you said, well, I'm not going to speak to this other Coast Guard member of mine. I'm not going to talk to him today. You wouldn't have a pastor. What if the Christian in your life hid their light, never shared it with you or anybody else? What if you never shared the light and put it on a candlestick? You know, what if the many people that spoke to me, I said, well, I know about the gospel, but I just don't want to say anything. I know how to lead you to the Lord, but I'm just not going to lead you. I'm just not going to say anything. Now, I know down in the South, there's a lot of people that go to church. A lot of people say they're Christians, but we can shine as lights. Find the only lost person here. I know they all say they go to church. We'll get down to the gospel and find out their spiritual condition and witness to them. Find the only atheist here. And surely there's people that are hurting here. Jesus proceeded here to show them that the very reason why they were enlightened and to be that light was that others might also see the light and be benefited by it. When people light a candle, they do not conceal the light, but place it where it may be of use. Let God use you. The setting of the light. Number 5, the span of the light. Look at verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and to give it light unto all that are in the house. You know, it's an amazing thing. Just as simple as truth that if you put a light into a room, it's going to give light to that room. It's going to affect that area. The span of the light is to give light unto all that are in the house. A light to all, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We ought to shine that light, the span of light. You ought to also consider the end. Why I've communicated my light unto you, it is in part the same with that of men when they light a candle in a room, which is to show light to all those that are in the room. They do not use the light to hide under a vessel or a bushel, so I have not communicated my truths or my grace unto you merely for your own use, but for others to use. You know, praise God, you're saved. Maybe there's somebody else that needs to be saved. The span of the light, we want to give light to somebody else. We want to find that person out. We want to get a burden for somebody in our neighborhood, in our community, in our city, or maybe in our state. Maybe we need to be more vocal in getting the gospel to Atlanta, plant more churches in Atlanta, but we want to give light to all that are in the house. And number 6, the sight of the light. Look at verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We want people to see it. Let your light so shine. You are the children of light and the children of the day in 1 Thessalonians. We are not of the night nor the darkness, the Bible says. The sight of the light. Ephesians 5:13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are the light of the world. Walk as children of light. You know, perhaps Paul was having problems at some of the churches. And he was telling those people, don't be so involved with sin that it inhibits your light. Be that impact. Let people see your light. You know, Paul was a great witness. He went everywhere preaching the gospel. He planted churches just everywhere he went. But he was telling the churches that he planted, churches that existed, he said, now it's your turn. I've brought the light here. I've collected believers, started a church. I've got to go somewhere else. But now it's your job to keep being that light. I can't stay here forever. Paul was saying, I've got other churches to plant, but now it's your turn to be that light. And part of that light is renewing our compassion to give more missions offerings. You know, to give more money so that more missionaries can be sent. And God's entrusted you. There's some poorer churches. Now, they can give as God directs, but if we've got money and we've got our needs met, we've tithed, we've offerings, and we see the need for missions giving, we ought to be willing to do that. Let your light so shine. Let your holy life, your pure conversation, your faithful instructions be everywhere seen and known, always in all societies and in all business, at home and abroad, in prosperity and adversity. Let it be seen that you are real Christians. You know, I was with a friend of mine. His name is Evangelist Dwight Smith. Does anybody know Dwight Smith in the church? Not very many, but he's a really good friend of mine, and he comes to visit me in Staten Island. And before we even had a church building, we hadn't even reached one person in Staten Island. Didn't even have tracts yet. I didn't have a Bible on me. But he said he came to me one night after, it was a Sunday night, really late. He came probably at 11 or 12 o'clock at night. And he said, hey, Dave, let's go into Times Square. Let's just go see the city that never sleeps. Let's just go all night. I said, okay, sure, we'll do that. And we did. You know, we rode the boat, went over to Times Square. We spent all, we got some McDonald's, you know. The McDonald's in Times Square just stays open all night, and it's packed. You know, it's packed as if it's rush hour. And so we were there all night, and we're coming back, and he said, you know, Dave, let's go witness on the boat. You know, these Staten Islanders are just kind of going home. It might be a little hungover, but let's go talk to them. And I said, okay, no problem. He said, I don't have a Bible on me. He said, well, you know the Bible. You've got enough memorized. We can do it. And I've got you know, some verses memorized and stuff. I said, okay, no problem. And we got to talking to this big black guy. His name was Raymond. And we started witnessing to him, you know. And he started crying. Big black guy, just bawled his eyes out. He said, my life's a wreck. I need God in my life. He just bawled his eyes out. Never seen it. And we hadn't reached one person. And we said, well, God loves you. He died for you. He died for all that sin. You can have a relationship with him. We witnessed the boat rides about 35 minutes. So we're there witnessing, sharing verses, letting him know what the gospel was. And he got saved. But I kicked myself. You know, I didn't get his name and number. But I gave him my name and number. You know, I didn't have a tract, didn't have a Bible. I didn't have any way. I didn't even have a card to write down his information. But I gave him my name and number. And I was kicking myself. And I said, God, if you allow him to call me, this guy, we need him in our church. You know, we need to start a church here. We need to reach somebody. If you allow him to call me, I will not drop the ball. I'm sorry for not getting his information. He needs to be discipled. He needs to be baptized. We need him. You know, and sure enough, God allowed him to call. And I remember the first thing I said. He said whatever he said. And I said, well, you know, the most important thing right now is that you learn the Bible. You need the Bible in your life. I know your life might still be a wreck. I know God saved you, but you need to grow in the Lord. And by God's grace, I was able to almost completely disciple the guy. Now, sadly, he's not in our church today. But it was the first person we reached. I was able to disciple him. But let your light shine. If we would have never said anything, this man would have never been saved. You know, this man, he was involved in homosexuality, into drugs. He had lived a rough life, but he repented of his sin and got saved. Praise God. I don't know where he's at today. I see him around town a little bit. He still lives in the neighborhood. I just see him from time to time. You know, hopefully he's attending church somewhere, but God can do great things. Let your light shine. And lastly, the satisfaction of the light. You know what happens when we let our light shine in these ways? He's glorified. God's glorified by it. Look at verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify, magnify, make God look good, and may glorify his character and who he is, your Father, which art in heaven. He's pleased, which is in heaven. You know, God the Father is pleased when we let our light shine. He's glorified. He's made to look good. I like to explain a glorify means to kind of magnify, put a magnifying glass on who God is. We know God is perfect. We know God is holy. We know God can save sinners. But then, when I let my light shine, it shows others that great truth. It shows others that this God is real. He's glorified. The proper motive to influence us is not simply that we may be seen, but it should be that our Heavenly Father may be glorified. Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all the glory of God. When lives are changed, God is glorified. When Christians go to church, God is glorified. When praises come to our lips, God is glorified. When good works impact the sinful culture, God is glorified. When we preach the gospel, God is glorified. When we let our light shine, God is glorified. And others will glorify Him too. You know, I'll glorify God. I'll stand here and say, praise God, He's done great things. I'll magnify His name. But if we can get others to do so, it's a grand army giving glory and proper attribution back to God. It is one of the most difficult subjects there to teach, this glorifying God, that He is full of glory. I believe that it is because the subject itself is as deep as the character of God. Hence, it is both inexhaustible and to a large degree indefinable. The subject is glory. With every breath we breathe, with every word we speak, with every ministry we perform, the glory belongs only to Him. Not to man, not to a church, not to a ministry, but to the glory of God. Not just some of it belongs to Him, all of it belongs to Him. Not most of it, all of it. Not even 99.9% of it, all to the glory of God. It belongs to Him and to Him alone. Better be very careful too, even in a missions conference. The glory does not go to the missionary or the church planner or the pastor or the church. It goes to God.
Amen.
Hey, look what God has done. Look at these people that God has helped us to reach. I can't reach anybody. I really can't. But God can help me do it.
Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That when the ministration of the gospel has been blessed for the illumination of the minds of men to a thorough conviction of their state and for their regeneration, conversion, and sanctification and comfort, that they may give praise to God and bless His name for qualifying and sending such gospel ministers to show them the way of salvation. Let's let our light shine, not just to be good Christians and be a good testimony, but to get vocal about it. See, I think most of us in that room would want to be good Christians. We don't want to go around just murdering people and stealing people's things and disobeying all the Ten Commandments. But let's get past just our character and being good Christians in the way we perform things, but then get to the aggressive vocal part of it, to where we want to see where men's souls are. When's the last time you asked somebody about their soul? Not just was a good Christian, was kind and loving, maybe worked a little harder to be a good testimony and all those good Christian characteristics that we have, but when's the last time you got past that, just your character, and confronted people with the gospel? It's one thing to be a Christian, but then to speak out the gospel and be vocal with my light. I want you to experience the light and the satisfaction of that water that cleanses you and will give you, you'll never thirst. I want to give you that bread of life and so you'll never hunger. You know, I'm constantly bombarded with people that are thirsty and hungry, and they try to fill it with all kinds of stuff. Sex, drugs, anger, rage, video games, just everything in our society. But you know what? God can fill that. It wasn't until I got saved to where that inward desire finally got filled. And there's just people out there. You know, someone knocked on my door. You know, I wonder where I'd be today if that Christian said, you know what? I want to knock on Dave Wilt's door. You know, he's a lost, you know, kind of young kid. You know, he's just a punk kid. But you know what? I'm kind of busy today. I'm not going to knock on his door. I'm not going to invite him to church. You know, all the guy did when he knocked on my door is invited me to church. He didn't even witness to me. There's even a great need for that. But, you know, start there if you need to start there. But at some point, you got to get beyond just inviting to church and being a good testimony and witnessing, letting that light shine and asking about their soul. Renew your compassion tonight and let that light shine. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight to recognize the truth of God's Word? We need to turn on the light. If we're a vessel fit for the Master's use, we can't have a dirty vessel. We can't have any sin that's hindering our influence, that's blocking the light, blocking the water of life, blocking the bread of life, that dirties the plate, that makes it look impalatable. We need to be a witness for you, and we need to have clear vessels fit for your use. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you two questions. Who would say tonight, Pastor Dave, would you pray for me? There's some dirt that's gotten on my glass. There's dirt that's gotten on the plate with God's everlasting bread. There's some part there I've kind of put some black spots on the vessel for my candle, and there's just some things in my life that God showed me tonight. They could be small things, they could be big things, but God, there's some things that have came in that I need to get cleaned up out of my life. Anybody like that? Just pop your hand up, we'll pray for you. There's some things on my vessel. You can put your hands down. Even if it's a small thing, God's concerned about it. Now, you don't put that on everybody else, but God told you to get that off your life. It may be cutting out some movies, cutting out some music, or whatever. It could be a vice, but get that out of your life. Let me ask you a second question. Who'd say tonight, Pastor Jay, would you pray for me? I need to be more vocal in my witness. Not just a good testimony, just letting my light shine, but then getting to that confrontation to ask them about the gospel and find out where their soul is going. But God's shown me some of that tonight. I need to get more aggressive in my witnessing, get more pointed with it, not just be a good testimony. But God's shown me that tonight. Pastor Dave, would you pray for me to be a better witness in that area? Hands really all across the room. You can put your hands down. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we don't want to just make a decision. We don't want to just raise our hand and not mean it. We want you to use us. There's a world, there's a population that's dying without Christ. Our world is getting progressively more and more wicked. Yes, we are disheartened about their disrespect to the flag and their disrespect to other things in our country, but just they're unsaved. They're lost people. They need to be saved and recognize that for God so loved the world. These people need to know that racism stops at the cross. Every black, yellow, red, white person, brown person, you died for everyone, for the world on the cross. And that person just needs to be saved. And it'll take care of racism in one generation if everyone's saved. But Lord, would you help us to be an impact? And not so much focus on the sins that we see. I'm upset, Lord, that our country is being disrespected and our flag is being run to the ground. We understand some of the things. We are against racism, Lord, but we need to reach these people with the gospel. Every racist, every black family, white family, Spanish family, every Chinese family needs the gospel. That's really what they need. They need to be saved and get into a good biblical church. Help us do that tonight. Help the ones that raise their hand to be a witness for you. Help them to be more pointed, more aggressive, not offensive, but just pointed with the gospel, finding out where people are going, finding out about their soul. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.